Psalm number 160. The psalm our brother read from last night, Psalm 116. Two colored brothers met, the one said to the other, "Be you in the Lord's army?" He says, "Yes, I be in the Lord's army." He said, "I be a Baptist." "You not be in the Lord's army at all, you be in the Lord's navy." Another fellow met the other day and he said to his friend, he says, "Can you tell me what is an apostle?" "An apostle," said the other one. "No, I don't know what an apostle is." "Oh," said, "an apostle is an epistle's wife." Well, of course, we understand. Psalm 116, verse number 1. "I love the Lord." The four words at the end of the psalm. "Praise ye the Lord." Got it? "I love the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." When it says "praise ye the Lord," that means in particular. You know what I saw just now? Well, somebody just yawned. And you know something? They never didn't even cover their mouth up. Had they been sitting so far back, I might have seen their tonsils. Now, I won't look at them just now, at least, and up a little while. And don't you come up and say, "I'm sorry, Mr. Boswell, I yawn," because it may not have been you at all. So there you got the four little words, "I love the Lord," and it closes with four little words, "Praise ye the Lord." When it says "praise ye the Lord," that means in particular. When it says "praise the Lord," that means in general. Psalm number 1 starts off as a solo. Then we find the psalm beginning to develop into a duet, a trio, a quartet, quintet, and it comes right on to Psalm 150. And you've got the whole choir and all the heavens orchestra there, and it says that everything has got breath, praise the Lord. And have we great cause to praise Him? I'm sure we have. Now tonight, I want to talk to you a little while with this psalm open, as a man before conversion and after conversion. A man before conversion and a man after conversion. Dr. James Nisbet, who is a chant specialist working in Kingston, Ontario, Canada, was ministering with me at a conference some time ago in another part of Ontario. And he opened this psalm like this. If you remember him, some of you do, he's a tall fellow, much taller than I am. That was at a really a conference. The next week we were together at Edmonton conference away out in Alberta. And they took a picture of us and they called us Mutton Jeff. He was away up here someplace and I am where I am. You see, there it is, such a contrast in the height. But a ministry dovetailed very much one into the other. I finished on the theme, "The great need among us today for each and every believer to fall in love with Jesus Christ." He got up following me and he read these four words. "I love the Lord." And the meeting divided, the devil divided into three sections. He looked at this section and said, "I love the Lord." "Do you? Do you? I do you." Now what is your answer? You see, to love the Lord is you're going to praise the Lord. No doubt about that. You just can't love Him without knowing Him. But to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is just to praise Him. Your heart simply overflows. Now I want to give you this theme tonight under four little T's. We've been looking at quite a number of T's. Now I want to give you a few more tomorrow morning in the study class. So good to see such a nice number coming out at 10 o'clock in the morning and recognizing you're such a busy crowd of people. It's amazing to see you're taking time off for that brief hour. And tomorrow we shall continue your studies in the joy, love, letter. But now here we have four C's. One, we're going to look at this man, firstly, under conviction. We're going to look at him under conversion. Then we're going to look at him under consecration, and then we're going to look at his consummation. Did you get them? All those things: conviction, conversion, consecration, and consummation. A friend of mine was preaching at the half yearly meetings in Glasgow, Scotland. I spoke on 7 different nations, like salvation, sanctification, justification, so on. Then he had to leave that conference and go and talk at another conference. So the man who followed him got up and said, "Our brother has been speaking on 7 different nations." And he went over them all. Now he says he's left and gone to the station. I do hope he reaches his destination. He had 7, but I've only got 4. Here they are then, as a convicted man. Now look, please, and I want you to get this. God's gracious dealings with mankind have been essentially the same in all ages. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no real conversion to God apart from conviction of sin. A person must recognize his or her need of the Lord Jesus before they come to him and yield their lives entirely to him. So as a convicted sinner in verse number 3, the very last phrase, the psalmist said, "I found trouble and sorrow." He's talking here now as a convicted sinner. Notice the context of that same verse. "The sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell that hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow." Now here is a man who is unprepared to meet God. He's not ready to go into eternity, and the stark reality of eternity is now gripping his heart. And with this staring him in the face, he said, "I found trouble and sorrow." So it is with every man and woman and boy and girl who is never coming to a personal relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Unless we come to God through Jesus Christ, there is no salvation, there is no peace, there is no joy, there is no forgiveness. We must come to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at this man. He finds trouble and sorrow. He finds the sorrows of death compassing him, the pains of hell laying hold upon him. Now, slip down, please, to verse number 6. Right in the middle of the verse, it says, "I found trouble and sorrow," but then he goes on here to say, "I was brought low." I was brought low. Now, this may be a very humiliating experience, but, beloved, it's the surest way of blessing. It's a principle running right through Scripture, that if we humble ourselves, we shall be exalted. But if we exalt ourselves, we shall be humbled. The Bible says, "Every eye shall see Christ, every knee shall bow to Christ, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Again, the Bible says in Psalm number 72, "They shall come from the north and the south, the east and the west, the high and the low, the educated and the illiterate, the bond and the free, the rich and the poor, and they shall come and all bow down before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust." We must either bow the knee in this day of grace, acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, or we must do it in the hour of judgment. But every knee is going to bow to him. Every eye is going to see him. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A friend of ours, coming across from Britain in one of those great transatlantic liners, a young man coming to us for the very first time from England. He was accosted by a trio on the boat asking him to play a game of cards. They wanted 4 to play the cards, and he, gentlemanly, well-mannered, well-groomed, well-educated, good-looking, Mrs. Pilon will bear that out for John Williams. And so here it is, he's coming across for the very first time, and here this young man was asked by these friends to play this game of cards. In his own sweet, polite way, he declined, saying, "I've never played cards in my life. My mother always taught me cards with the devil's Bible and never to touch them." He said, "I always had a great regard for my mother's judgment. But," he said, "if you don't mind, I'll read your fortune from the card." They couldn't quite understand why he wouldn't play cards, yet he would read their fortune. He asked for the five of spades. And he held up the five of spades and looked, there are two here, one in the center and two at the bottom. The two at the top here, every eye shall see him. The two at the bottom, every knee shall bow to him. The one in the center, every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This little spade up here one day, if the Lord be not come, will dig my grave. For me it will be very much better. This little spade down here one day will dig your grave. For you, what then? Needless to say, he never saw him playing cards the rest of the voyage. Every eye shall see him. Every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Happy are you who have bowed the knee in the day of grace and own him as your Lord and as your Savior. What joy is your joy. Going around Edinburgh Castle, there's a lady, and she was being guided around by the guy there at the castle, going into one place, the other historical places there, and saying many interesting things. When they came to the jewel room, for all the wonderful gems and precious stones are, you've got to stoop, you've got to bend to get in to see those wonderful gems. When the lady came to this particular main door, she said to the guard, is this the only way into the jewel room? He said, yes, madam, it's the only way. She flung her head and said, well, I won't bother seeing them. And she passed by. She was too proud to stoop. Beloved, many are going to miss the splendors of yonder glory because they've been too proud to bend the knee to the Son of God and acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior. The psalmist said, I was brought low, and he helped me. First sentence, the very last sentence says, I was greatly afflicted. I was greatly afflicted. Now notice please what it says in verse number 3, I found trouble and sorrow, I was brought low, and then he said, I was greatly afflicted. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. The hymn writer saying, affliction though may seem severe, in mercy oft the saint. They stopped the prodigal's mad career and caused him to repent. My little mother used to say, sometimes God's got to break somebody's back before he can reach another's heart. I just finished conducting a wedding. I just had conducted a wedding in Brantford, Ontario. The following Wednesday, I got a long-distance phone call. Would I go back to Brantford on a Saturday to conduct a funeral service? A man who had been at that wedding on the Saturday from Flint, Michigan, I was leaving on my Wednesday morning for his office. He just kissed his wife goodbye, went up, shut the door, and he dropped, and he went to heaven. For him, he was absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is very far better, and he'd been in need of a Brantford that brought the body back to Brantford. God give liberty and real power in that particular funeral service. The following Wednesday, I got another letter, this time from the widow, saying the letter was going to be filled with a mixture of joy and sorrow. She says, I do miss my husband, and I sorrow not as others which have no hope, because we're going to be reunited one day. She said, I want to share a joy with you. Our eldest son was saved at the funeral service on Saturday afternoon. For the joy fills our heart, but for the sorrow, to think that God has to take the father before he can reach the son's heart. God had to take the father before he could reach the son's heart. Affliction, though may seem severe, in mercy, offer said. Now get the picture because I am a hurry. I found trouble and sorrow. I was brought low. I was greatly afflicted. Now please notice that troubled, sorrowful, humiliated and afflicted soul cries out in verse number 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver myself. Here's a cry of ringing from the convicted sinner now. He recognizes the trouble and sorrow. He recognizes humiliation. He recognizes the affliction. And from it all he cries, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You see, he goes to the right source. He calls upon the right person. He calls the right name. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, beloved, listen now. This troubled, sorrowful, humiliated, and afflicted soul, having called upon the name of the Lord, he's led into rest, he's led into joy, he's led into exaltation, and he's led into glorious comfort. Yes, beloved, the Lord heard, and he responded immediately. You'll hear the cry ring from your heart tonight. If there should be one in this very fine, intelligent congregation who, recognizing your need of the Lord Jesus, from the quiet of your own heart, you can cry, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Whatever the cry may be, his ear is open. His heart is yearning. He's coming towards you. Oh, just cry tonight. Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This can be your great joy tonight. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now go to verse number 8 and let your heart exalt. Now what it says, that thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Oh, friend, here's the language now of a converted man, the language of a sinner saved by grace. My friend, the pangs of conviction have gone and gone forever. And he says, thou hast delivered my soul from death, there is salvation. Mine eyes from tears, there's the song. My feet from falling, there's the strength. Isn't it wonderful? Did you get those three little essays? My soul from death is salvation. Isn't that just wonderful? He removed the tears now of contrition, the tears of repentance, the tears of sorrow, the tears of grief. And he removes the tears, and in that place he brings a song. It's a song of the soul set free. We were singing a moment ago, he lifted me up, yes, out of the miry clay. He put a new song into my mouth, even praise unto my God. When the children of Israel were down in the land of Egypt, there was no singing or praising there. Plenty of grumbling and grousing and complaining, but no song. Once they left the land of bondage, crossed the Red Sea, standing on resurrection ground, they looked back to the old seer, they looked back at all their enemies dead upon the seashore. Then sang the children of Israel, the Lord has triumphed gloriously, the Lord all the glory, the Lord all the triumph and praise, the Lord has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider is cast in the depth of the sea. Little Pharaoh, remember, little puny Pharaoh, so boastful in his own estimation, very egotistical, and he said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will destroy. And the Lord just blew a little puff of wind. He went down into the ocean, all his mighty men with him. Ah, do you see what I'm getting at, my friend? You see, you're dealing with the Almighty God. The Almighty God. And my friend, when you call upon him, Lord, save me. Lord, remember me. He hears that cry immediately. He responds straight away. Then your heart goes to cry, Lord, you've delivered my soul from death. John 5:24 comes in here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, that is fast from death unto life. You come from a condition of spiritual death, you have got into a sphere of spiritual life. My friend, I want you to get that tonight. Not only do you become the possessor of eternal life, that is absolutely wonderful, but salvation brings you right out of a sphere of death into a sphere of light. It brings you out of a sphere of darkness into a sphere of light. It brings you to a sphere of hatred into a sphere of love. It brings you from bondage into liberty. That's what salvation means, you know. It says in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4, it says, who gave himself to bear away our sins and to deliver us from this present evil age. The very same night the children of Israel applied the blood, that same night they left Egypt. And the moment you were born again by the Spirit of God, God brought you out of a dead sphere into a sphere of light. He brought you from darkness into light. He brought you, my friend, from bondage into liberty. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. Isn't it now? Amen? I want you to get this, my friend, deep down in your own heart tonight. Let it really reach you. I love this when I come to verse number 8. It says, thou hast delivered my soul from death. He is my Redeemer. He's given me salvation. And he says, mine eyes from tears. He's given me a song. He's my Comforter. My feet from falling. My friend, he is my Keeper. He's given me strength. Now, did you get the picture? He is your Redeemer. He is your Comforter. And hallelujah, he is your Keeper. Some people say, I would be saved but I don't think I could keep it. No, you could not keep it, neither can I. But thank God he's the one who does the keeping. And the man says, you're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Oh, the wonderful glorious joy. Now come with me, please. Verse number 10. It says in verse number 10, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Isn't this lovely? You see, you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord. Oh, am I going too fast for you tonight? Am I hurrying through too much for you tonight? Friends, I would love to dwell on verse number 8. I'd love to spend all night on verse number 8. Now I want to get this. Are you in the good of verse number 8? Do you know the salvation? Do you know the song? Do you know the strength? Do you know him as your Redeemer? Do you know him as your Comforter? Do you know him as your Keeper? Oh, my friend, if not, why not tonight? Why not tonight? No better opportunity than right now for you to open your heart to the Son of God's love and know him as your Lord and as your Savior. Verse number 10, I believe, therefore have I spoken. You believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Maybe tonight someone's not in the good, not in the joy of their salvation. Oh, truly have believed on the Lord Jesus. Truly have said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, but you've never told anyone about it. And you wonder why there's no joy. You hear others talking about joy or talking about peace, talking about an appetite for the Word of God, and you wonder why. It may be just here. You have never opened your mouth or confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Now I want to tell you something. Confession with the mouth is bundled up with God's plan of salvation. And the Lord Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Psalm 107 verse number 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's the whole thing. And if you have believed in your heart, then say so. Illustration. Heaven in Calgary, Alberta. We're having a gospel crusade there. We've been here the year before for 8 weeks. And I took a young man back with me who's now in Africa. I hope to see him at the beginning of next year, called Colin Anderson. We were there for 7 weeks this particular time. And this particular night, while others were wending away into the inquiry room, a married sister and her younger sister, a college girl, left auditorium in tears. The married girl was crying because of the conviction regarding her young sister. She longed to see her saved. So she said to her, Grace, why don't you go back tonight? Why don't you get the matter settled? She said, no, let us go home. That was one Wednesday night. The following Wednesday, we're speaking in the highest schools in the auditorium there. We just finished speaking when the phone rang in the principal's office. When we go to this particular house. So Mr. Anderson and I went along to this home. When we got there, from some part of the house, we don't know where, but this girl came running. She just jumped right at us and said, Uncle Jim, I got something to tell you. I said, you don't need to tell me, Grace. I can see it. But she said, I want to tell you. Well, go on. I'm saved. Wonderful. When were you saved? The last Wednesday night. And she says, I've been as miserable as anything for a whole week. I've been the most miserable girl in the world for a whole week. And you were saved last Wednesday? Yes. I said, why were you saved? Why were you so miserable? So because I didn't tell anybody until today. I said, I told my colleagues at school I was saved, and something happened inside me. A joy flooded my soul. Then I told my sister, then I told my brother-in-law. Now I want to tell Mr. Anderson and you. And my friend, I turned that girl, well, you jolly well deserve to be miserable for a week. To have believed in your heart, never told anybody about it. I can understand it, can you? Oh, I love this to come down to your heart tonight. I really would. The joy of the Lord will flood your soul. You believe with your heart, not believe with your mind, not believe historical facts concerning Jesus Christ, but you believe and you receive him into your heart. And once you receive him, you receive life. And life eternal. Isn't that beautiful? Look at verse 13. It says here, I will take the cup of salvation. See, that's why there's going to be more Scotch people in heaven than any other nationality, because salvation is free. And you say, I will take the cup of salvation. Salvation is receiving. Sometimes I will be saved, but I couldn't give this up, I couldn't give the next thing up. I want to tell you frankly, you're not asked to give anything up to receive Christ. You can't give those things up in your own strength. A little girl, her mother has sewn a few old rags together and soon, I mean a doll, a little rag doll, one of those old-fashioned rag dolls, all the comfort, all the joy, all the satisfaction, that little treasure got out of that doll. Every place she went, the doll had to go with her. All that doll was up. She couldn't give that doll up for anything or for anyone. That doll was a constant pride and joy. One day the father kissing her goodbye to go away to the busy city. He started holding on to her doll and he went into one of the big departmental stores. He bought a big, an old walkie-talkie doll with real hair, you know, one of those real mammy dolls. And he brought it home. There she is holding on to the little cloth doll, you see. What a joy she got out of that doll all day. But now, he unties the string. He undoes the parcel. And then he holds up the doll. Look, darling, look. And whenever the little girl saw the doll, she rushed across, oh, thank you very much, Daddy. And receiving a new doll, she dropped the old doll. True, what she could not give up. And what brought joy and satisfaction to her for so many months and years, now when she received a new doll, it simply dropped. And I tell you, friend, tonight, that very thing you think you could never give up, that thing you just feel I could never lay that aside. You haven't got the strength and the ability. Once you receive Christ, He gives you the strength. Once you receive Christ, He gives you the power. And if there's a willingness within your heart tonight to receive Him, He'll give you the strength to let go. And the thing you thought you could never give up, your fun will automatically drop because Christ has come into your heart. I will take that cup of salvation. Oh, isn't this just wonderful now? Now flip back to verse number one, will you? I love the lost. Do you? Do you? Now let's be honest about this. Now this is for the Christian. I've been talking now regarding a convicted man under deep conviction. I've been talking now about a converted man. He's come through conviction right into conversion. And I repeat with all my heart, there's no real conversion to God apart from conviction of sin. I've no time for a mere believism. I've no time for a mere cheap evangelism. There must be a deep reception of Jesus Christ as Lord. You're not asked to receive Christ as Savior, not in one verse of Scripture. You're asked to receive Him as Lord. And there's no real salvation apart from submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. This mamby-pamby, wishy-washy evangelism is going around today. My friend, listen, there's a cheap evangelism regarding sin and the condoning sin. We must face sin, but in the life of the believer, or in the life of the unbeliever, to have cheap thoughts about sin is to have light thoughts about God. That spells catastrophe. He is Lord. He is Lord. When you're born again, you're no longer your own. You belong to Him. You're His and you're His forever. What a wonderful joy that is. And now that as a believer, you look up and say, I love the Lord. And I suggest coming to you that this is, my friend, the first evidence of new life. You love Him because you know Him. You can't know Him without loving Him. I love the Lord. You know something? I very seldom talk of my love for the Lord Jesus. It's far too spasmodic. It's far too erratic and cold in contrast to His matchless love. It's always so warm and loyal, sincere and true. But I can say humbly, and I trust with all sincerity tonight, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. It's a principal element in consecration. Because you recognize all that He's done for you. Not of a heart of gratitude and a heart of love. My friend, you surrender your whole life to His authority. You're coming from your heart, you're crying, take my love, O Lord, I pour, at Thy feet is treasure store. Take myself and I will be, ever only, all for Thee. Or if many would only see this at the initial step in salvation, that are no longer their own, that belong to Him, it would save them from many a pitfall, from many a danger, and from many a snare, from many a doubt. If they recognize the fact they're no longer their own, just like in the marriage service, you belong to one another. You said, I will tonight, will of committal. You belong one to the other. You don't go flirting around with some other man or flirting around with some other woman. If you do, you ought not to. You belong to.
You're the possession of another. And when you're born again, you're married to Jesus Christ. Death may sever the marriage bond down here, but you're bound to him eternally with love's strong cord, a bond that can never be broken. Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't this just wonderful, my friend? Oh, aren't you glad you're in Christ? Aren't you glad you're a child of God? And tonight you say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. The principal element in consecration and the first evidence of new life. I love the Lord. Did you love him tonight? It's because you're born again. Because you're a child of God. You love him because you know him. Now look, please, at verse number 12, I think it is. Verse number 12. There this reassures my soul. Dear saints here, what shall I render? What shall I render? This does not do something in your heart. He's just so happy now. He's just simply bubbling over now. The job of the Lord's so real to him now. Why? He's come through conviction into conversion. There's a consecrated man. He says, I love the Lord. And now his whole heart goes up and says, what shall I render? What can I give to the Lord? Some people have got the gimmies. You know what I mean by the gimmies? Give me this and give me the next thing. Give me, give me, give me. But the heart is in touch with Jesus Christ. What can I give the Lord? What shall I render unto the Lord for his benefits toward me? Some people often ask me, why is it in your public gatherings you'll never have a collection or a freewill offering, passing this basket and so on? I look and say, my job to catch the fish. Then I find the coin in the fish's mouth. Did you get that one? Did you get it? That's it, my friend. That's it. Now I want you to think of this through tonight. Once you're born again by the Holy Spirit and brought in the family of God, your heart's not only open, your purse opens, everything opens up, and you see your His spirit and soul and body, your time, your talent, all your treasure belongs to Him. And now from a heart filled with, what shall I render? What shall I render unto the Lord? I know what happened if you knew that those boxes back would actually be overflowing. That's true. Out of love for the Lord. What shall I render? What can I give to the Lord? You're not giving it to the evangelist or giving it to the Bible teacher or to the conference center. You're giving to the Lord. Oh, the wonder of all. Isn't it just true now? Isn't it real? Isn't it vital in your heart? Of course it is. What shall I render unto the Lord? Please go down to verse number 17, I think it is. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't this precious? You see, he's just bubbling over now, and now he's a worshipper. He's worshipping. I said the other night in our opinion, a thankful heart is one of heaven's choicest gifts. Wherever you've got a thankful heart with it, there's a praiseful disposition. The two go together. What shall I render unto the Lord? I will offer to the Lord the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And now here's this worshipping heart. The one who knows how to adore, how to worship. As a result of that wonderful contemplation in Psalm 45, the choir sing of tonight, he's contemplating his Lord. He said, my heart in judging a good matter, my heart bubbling up, my heart is overflowing with good matter. I speak of things I made touching the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Thou art fair in the children of men, gracious all in thy lips. He's the all together lovely, he's the fairest of the fair. And all beloved, because of this tonight you say, what shall I render? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Are you a thankful Christian tonight? Really? You thank the Lord with all your heart for all he's done for you, for all he's doing for you, and all he'll yet do for you. The wonder of it all. Now look at verse 16. See what he says here. Lord, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bond. Isn't this wonderful? See what I'm getting at, children of God? Now you look up and say, Lord, I am thy servant. We're saying this in these morning gowns. Lord, I am thy bond slave. I am thy servant. Lord, I am thine. I'm thine. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou and thine atonement give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, and for thee alone. And to thy I ask you very lovingly, whose servant are you? Remember Jehovah saying, let my people go that they may serve me. The slaves of sin cannot be the servant of the Lord. Oh no, let my people go, that because we've been emancipated, we've been liberated, we've been set free. Now we'll look up and say, Lord, we are thy glad vessels. Make me a captive, Lord, and I shall be free. Force me to render up the sword, and I shall conquer thee. Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. Oh, I know that's the cry of your heart, isn't it? Look at verses 14 and 18, they're identical. Did you notice that? Verses 14 and 18 are identical. Says verse number 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And I know during these days of conference, I mean, before this week, you have made vows in your own heart that you were brought face to face and challenged before God. And you have made vows in your own heart and you said, Lord, I'm going to pay my vows. You've never done it. You've compromised, haven't you? But during these closing moments of this conference, the wise thinking believer, some have been coming along and saying, I wanted to talk to so-and-so. I wanted to talk to so-and-so. But somehow that I had to come and talk. Maybe tonight there's someone here, your burden. You feel we can help you. Don't go away. Pay your vows now. Now. In the presence of the Lord's people. Will you, my friend? Now I must hurry. Go to verse number 15. Here you have the consummation. We've been looking at conviction. We've been looking at conversion. We've been looking at consecration. Now let me ask you very lovingly, are you a convicted sinner? Are you a converted sinner? Are you a consecrated believer? Is your all upon the altar for Jesus Christ? Everything wholly, completely surrendered to his authority with his life. With a capital L. But now the consummation, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For the contrast to verse number 3, in verse number 3 is terrified. He's terrified. The very thought of it gripping his heart. And in verse 15, he's looking forward to it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The margin has the dead for his saints. The very sparrow falling to the ground. Cry, God attends every sparrow's funeral. Valueless in the eyes of men, but valuable in the eyes of God. He attends every sparrow's funeral. A sparrow can't fall to the ground without the Father noticing it. The passing ink of his own beloved, this is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And here I say this very lovingly and very humbly. When I'm asked to conduct the funeral service of a person I know does not belong to Jesus Christ, if I can get out of it, I do. Do you know why? It's the hardest thing I ever do. It's to conduct the funeral service of someone whom I really know. Has never yet trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. But when it comes to the believer, I often say I would rather bury them than marry them. I would, you know why? When I bury them, I know they're happy ever after. When I marry them, I don't know what's going to happen. See what I'm getting at now? See what I'm married, I want to get this. There's a real joy. I was conducting a funeral service in London, Ontario recently for an outstanding businessman and Bible teacher. And after the service, some saying, that didn't seem like a funeral service at all. I said, that's interesting. Tell me, what is it? A triumphal entry. Now, isn't that just what it is? Isn't that just what it is? It's a triumphal entry. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Which is very far better. The Lord says the homegoing of his child is precious. It's precious. All heaven rejoices. Friend of ours, dear sinner God. And he said, you know, he's over 80 years of age, he's giving Bible studies. And he said, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Lord's coming and looking for the Lord's coming and going without dying. Oh, he said, I don't want to go like that. He said, I want to pass through the article of death. I want to have a personal interview with the Lord before the crowd comes home. Now, isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? You see, he knew the Lord. And he was a consecrated believer. And he loved the Lord.
and he wanted to meet him. Contrast knife close, because I know that I must. D.L. Moody, when he lay dying, someone said to Moody, "How do you feel, Mr. Moody, if you're going into eternity?" He said, "This is death, it is welcome. There is no dark valley, it is full of light. This is my day of coronation. This is my day of glorious triumph." And with these words, he went home to the presence of the Lord. Pompey, the infidel, who preached no God, no hell all his life. When he lay dying, people gathered around his bed, heard him yell out, "It's dark, it's dark, it's dark." Somebody said, "Hold on, Tom." He said, "I haven't anything to hold on to." And so it is with every unbeliever. A believer never dies alone. He may backslide, but he never dies alone. The Lord goes right through that valley with him, holding his hand, and he'll never let go. But it's wonderful you go home with a full abundance of entrance into his immediate presence, not ashamed before him at his coming. Oh, the wonder of it all. A little girl one day, I like stories about little girls, don't you? And here's a little girl one day, she'd been watching a nest, and she watched the nest being built, and she watched the little mother bird there laying eggs in the nest, and she counted those eggs, she watched them very carefully, then she goes away on a vacation. When she comes back, first thing to the nest, and they're just the shells, they're all broken. And she goes, the tears roll down her face, she's just crying so bitterly. The mother says, "What's the matter with you, darling?" "Oh," she says, some nasty boy, they've broken all the eggs, broken all the shells." "Of course, it'd be a nasty boy, you see." So the mother said, "Wait a minute, I'll explain to you." So she took her aside and said, "Now look, darling, those little shells there, they had a little bird in them, a little baby bird. A little baby bird got far too big for the shell, so it broke the skin, smashed the shell. And listen, do you hear the little birds there singing on those trees? Hear the birds singing on the trees?" "Yes, mummy." "Well, those little birds one day were in that shell. There they are now, singing a song in a beautiful spring and a beautiful fresh air. The tears were wiped away. Great big smile came over her face." Now, believer, isn't that just what happens when a Christian goes home? He leaves the shell behind him to go to join the choir in the heaven conservatory to sing the song of the soul set free. All the wonder of a new life in Christ Jesus. Conviction, conversion, consecration, and the consummation that we may not die. He may burst the clouds tonight and take us to be forever with himself. Your heart saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly." I feel burdened tonight to sing a hymn. It's 222, I think. 222. And now, I must look at that and find the hymn I want. No, the hymn is not there. It must be 242. 242. Now, in the light of what we've been listening to, we come to sing the same. Time won't allow us to sing it all. In fact, we've overrun our time a little bit tonight. I trust you don't mind. And please remember, if anyone's concerned about spiritual matters, you feel we can help you, then don't go away. There's no button holding, there's no undue pressing, but if you're concerned in any way, you feel we can help you, there are many here who are only too happy to sit by your side and to help you to understand more fully God's great plan for your life. Hymn number 242, "Out of my bondage, sorrow, night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee." 242, thoughtfully and prayerfully. You can come as you sing the same, just really from your heart, say, "Lord, I come." You can come right now, thank you. "Out of my body, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sin,
Angel, I help. Jesus, I come to thee. This is a marvelous hymn and fits in so beautifully what we've been listening to. And just see what you've been brought into as a child of God. What you've come from and what you've been brought into. Now let me ask you, are you in the good of all this? I know you are by the expression on your faces. But there may be someone here who's not yet been able to say, I've come. Why not tonight? Even as a Christian, are you in the good of this? If not, why not? Verse 2. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into thy glorious veil of thy cross, Jesus I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love. Out of despair into raptures above. Upward for on wings like a dove. Jesus, I come to thee. Before we sing the last verse, a little word of prayer. And as we sang the verse, keeping an attitude of prayer, while Mrs. Willie plays the verse over again, then you're at liberty to go. Keep in a prayerful attitude as you leave tonight. I believe the Spirit of God is operating here. Be careful in your conversation. Don't be too loud. Remember, you're still in the precincts of the Holy Temple. May the Lord indeed bless you in a real way. Father, have thy way. Working by thy Holy Spirit, we thank thee for thy word. May it become a reality in all of our hearts. May Christ become increasingly precious to each and every one of us. Honor thy Son in the salvation of precious souls. Honor thy Son by seeing him sanctified as Lord in the lives of thy beloved people for thy glory through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen. The last verse.
Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depth of sorrow and untold, into the peace of thy sheltering world, ever thy glorious face to behold. Jesus, I come to thee.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sweet abiding fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be the enjoined course of all who love thy name here and the whole wide world over, until that day when we shall see him face to face.